1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. Roseanne Rooney, good afternoon, Roseanne.
Good afternoon, Joe. Nice to speak with you.
And a very happy Thanksgiving Day to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Do you regard yourself as Irish or American, Roseanne?
Irish. Even though I'm American citizen and born American, I consider myself Irish.
And you were listening to Pauline yesterday and...
Oh, even now it chokes me up for her and for all the other mothers and fathers whose sons and daughters are away. I had, as I said in my email, my best friend Sheila, her son is in Canada and the other son is in America. I have a friend, Maureen Dick, and their son is in Australia. Other friends have three of their family, the whole family in Australia. Oh, it's awful. It's awful.
And I think what struck, I don't know what struck the chord with you, Roseanne, in Pauline's letter, Pauline's contribution yesterday, but her two boys, Shane and Darren, 23, 25. Shane left in September. Darren left for the States, same country, in November, recently. But Darren texted his mother when he arrived in the States and said, "I've left two letters."
And well, I think that's when the floodgates of the tears opened for me.
And Pauline was brave enough to read out one of the letters to her.
It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. And she kept it so together, explaining everything. I would have been in bits if I had to do what she did yesterday. But it was so poignant and so beautiful.
But her two boys, and they are her only... Their two boys were saying... Please do not fret. Please do not worry. We will be safe. We have to go. We have to work. And try and think of the future and try and think of about the weddings and that'll come and the visits. And he said to his mother at the end of this letter that she found in her bedside locker, she said to her, you know, be positive, aim to join a singing group because you're going to be singing at my wedding. But she was deeply upset. When did you leave Ireland, Roseanne?
1988, January the 5th, 1988.
And why?
Well, I'm a nurse, and the community hospital that I worked at, Monkstown, was closed down. And at that time, there was a great shortage of nurses in America, and a lot of the hospitals from America were coming over recruiting here. So I just thought, well, my kids are young and they probably will end up emigrating and that would mean we'd be here and they'd be over forever. So I thought it was best for us all to go at the same time.
And what age were your children at that stage?
My daughter Johanna was 13. Now, she wasn't a happy camper, I'll tell you, with me for taking her away from her friends and school and everything. And then my son Matthew was 9, but he was all agog about it. As I told Emmett, the researcher, he said, when I go to America, Mom, I'm going to get a job. And I said, really now, what kind of a job? He says, you know when you see in the movies where the boys are delivering the newspapers and they throw them, you know, on the lawn? He said, I'm getting a job like that.
And how did your daughter settle?
Actually, she didn't. After about the first year and a half, she came back and finished her education here. And then came back when she was 21.
Wow. And you let her come back when she was 14 and a half.
Yeah. That's why I was thinking of Pauline, like the heartbreak when we decided we'd let her come back here. It's so hard.
And you remember making that decision. What tipped it for you in letting your daughter go back without her parents to Ireland?
Well, she was extremely sad. Did fine in school, no problems there, but always I often used to hear her crying at night.
Oh God.
Yeah. But we were lucky that my father-in-law, my sister-in-law, live quite near where we used to live in Benagiri. And she went back to school in Clooney, where she had been for a year before we left.
And she settled back.
She settled back and did very well in school. No problems with her, thank God. No drugs, no drinking.
And did she go out? And did she go out to her family then in Boston where you were?
She came out when she turned 21.
And is she still out there with
you? She's married now, and I have two beautiful granddaughters, Anya and Aoife LaFosse.
But are they based in the States with you?
Yeah, they're about 20 minutes drive on the highway from me. So she married an Italian-American.
And did you always harbour the notion of coming back, Roseanne, or because the decision you made seemed to be long-term, because you said, I wanted to think not just about my own prospects, but the prospects of my children, and why, yeah. And I'm thinking of Pauline yesterday. Pauline said now she's trying to get out to the States for Christmas. She cannot bear being in the house and without to her two boys at Christmas.
Oh,
so
I
she said she's going somewhere.
That.
She's going anywhere, somewhere to get, she can't face it. But you always... In the sense, you were very forward planning in that you were saying, well, my children might emigrate. Where would they go? The States. So why can't I almost get out there ahead of them?
And be with them, yeah.
And did you ever harbour the prospect of coming home? To
Ireland? Often did. Mm. Often did, Joe. But when Johanna got married and had the grandchildren, I said, that's it now. We're all here together and we have a nice life. And I'm able to come home every year. And actually, I'm spending a month on this trip, so it's easier now. It's way easier now.
Well, listen.
There was times when we all wanted to pack up and come back, but you have to be realistic about it.
And now I heard Liam Doran of the Irish Nurses and Midwives Association this morning saying that. American agencies and indeed Australian, British and New Zealand agencies are all on the trail here now for nurses, for Irish qualified and trained nurses.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And even Leo Varadkar, the Minister for Health, said last week he's a GP. He still gets mailings from Canadian agencies saying he could earn $250,000 dollars if he would come and work in Canada. Are you still working, Roseanne?
No,
outside
I'm retired now.
Okay.
I'm retired
okay.
now.
Well, Roseanne, as I say, not just your calls but prompted by Pauline, but other letters as well, and a number of people just saying, as you'll hear now, that they could not even talk openly about the pain they're going through of the current wave of emigration. This is a letter from one listener. We verified it, but she just feels, and it's very unusual for us to do this, but such is the importance of this topic and the way it's been raised at this time. We've asked a friend here in the radio centre to read this letter from the mother of an only child who has emigrated.
I know you say talk to Joe, but I can't do that, as I would only break down, as I'm so lonely and heartbroken. I listen to your show every day and love it. During this week, I heard that young woman, Julie, and her mother tell their story and how heartbroken they are as Julie and her family emigrate to England for work and a better future for their children. I cried listening to how sad they were, as I know exactly how they are feeling, as I am in a similar situation, except our daughter is in Australia, where our only grandchild was born 1 year ago. We try and pretend we are doing okay, so as not to upset them. It is hard for them there, and it is hard for us here. She's our only daughter, and our very best friend too. The baby's arrival is the most wonderful thing that has happened, but so far away. They live in a beautiful place, have good jobs, and hope to return to Ireland in the future when things get better here. We pray and hope for this. We can Skype, text, call, which is great, but it's very hard to say goodbye on Skype. We think of them last thing at night, first thing in the morning. There are so many lonely parents in Ireland today. We are able to travel as we are healthy, but the goodbyes at the airport at the end of the holiday are so, so sad. It's a long journey, but my husband and I will continue to go whenever we can, as we don't want to miss out on the special times with them. We are very good actors at this stage, pretending to be coping a lot better than we actually are. But that's the way for us now. Life is all about family, and so many are now broken up through emigration. As I prepare the Christmas parcel, I think of all the families doing the same as me. I would like to let other parents know that they are not alone.
And I think that speaks for itself, doesn't it, Roseanne? And as the writer says, I think I'm speaking for so many other parents as well who see their children.
And talking about the saying goodbye, that was when we left, when we would come home first on holidays. Oh, the saying goodbye was terrible, just terrible. But it got better as years went on.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is there any, what are the consolations of emigration, if any? But what are, there has to be in some sense, because people do it, some people do it by choice, as we're now hearing, especially lately, there people that feel they've no option. But what are the consolations of emigration?
Well, initially I thought there were none, because, you know, the different culture, even though it's American, we know America well, but... as time went on then, and we got settled and saw our children do well, you know, Johanna's a dental hygienist and Matthew's an electrician, and he works on a maintenance team in a very prestigious school, college rather. Mm-hmm. And so they both did well, and then you just kind of get on with life, and I think the great joy is my grandchildren, that we're all together. So that's my consolation, I suppose. And then I have incredible friends here. Incredible. Lifelong. I have friends from boarding school day, Sheila, who I'm staying with in Wicklow. I have friends from my nursing. And I have friends from when I got married. And they're, you know, good, strong, firm friends. So
Roseanne,
looking forward to seeing them, kind of makes it all great.
I know in America they travel within the countries, the United States of America, but is emigration among your American friends, do their children emigrate for work?
No, not really, because America's so vast. Like, I have friends whose nursing daughters have moved to Texas, and that's huge for them, you know. To be going out of state is huge. I guess they're lucky there's plenty of work.
But is it like what I'm trying to... I know there are demographic, geographic, social, cultural, historical reasons for different countries having different attitudes to emigration. But it seems to me that in Ireland, it is the only safety valve we seem to have. And it is so painful in our psyche and in reality as well, as we're hearing. But I just wonder, is it as painful for other cultures, i.e., for example, the one you now live in, the United States of America. Now, this is the big weekend, Thanksgiving Day today, where people come home and come back to their home place. But is there the same pain of emigration that we endure here?
I don't think so. No, as you say, they come back. Thanksgiving is a huge holiday. It's even more important than Christmas over there, because they'll have a few days and they'll come back from out of state to be with their families. But no, I don't think they feel the same pain as we do.
Okay.
I think our family ethos is part of it too, and our culture.
Yeah.
And our love of socialising with family and friends.
And do you not miss not being in the States for Thanksgiving?
No.
why not?
I used to always work for Thanksgiving because Christmas would be my important holiday.
Okay.
So I would work for the American nurses, and then, you know, in respect, they would work Christmas. So I always had Christmas off, and I was happy to work Thanksgiving so that I could have Christmas off.
Okay.
I mean, it is a lovely holiday, don't get me wrong, Joe, but it wouldn't be... I didn't grow up with it, so it wouldn't be as important to me as Christmas.
Okay, when do you head back?
The 11th of December.
So you'll be in Boston for Christmas?
Yeah, my daughter now has taken over all the cooking, so we go up to her, and the girls are, her girls are 9 and almost 4, so they don't want to leave the house, you know, with Santa and all that. So we all go up to Johanna, and she cooks, and we all help out.
Okay.
And it is lovely.
Roseanne, I appreciate your contact, and enjoy the rest of your holiday home in your home of Ireland, and safe travelling back to your adopted home. Well, I know you're an American citizen, but safe travelling back to the States.
Thank you. Can I tell you one little quick
Yes.
side bit? when I always listened to your show in the States, and I used to mind my oldest granddaughter when she was smaller, okay. Anya. So you know how you're doing things around the kitchen, listening to the show, and the kids are playing with the toys or whatever. So the minute the Liveline jingle would come on, and she was probably 3 or 4 at this stage, she'd say, "Joe Duffy."
Very good. In an American accent.
An American accent, yeah.
Okay,
and it was so funny because, you know, you wouldn't think they're listening to you or paying any heed to their surroundings because they're so engrossed in their toys that the minute she heard the jingle, she'd come out with Joe Duffy.
Great stuff, great stuff.
Anyways, it was lovely talking
okay.
to you,
and
Joe.
Thanks for your contact, Roseanne, and kind regards to you and your family and your grandchildren, especially as you're so close to them. Thanks indeed, Roseanne.
Thank
Rooney.
You, Joe, and happy Christmas to you.
You too, and many more of them. And also, thanks to that letter writer, and thanks to Pauline yesterday and other people we'll be talking to throughout the programme. The great communion dress row continues after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Back to the PS I Love You emigration letters that were read out yesterday from sons who were in the States and hid the letters and then told their mothers where to find them. Patrick Donnelly, good afternoon. You were in the US for 16 years.
I was, Joe. I emigrated in 85 when things were bad. Mm. And I stayed there until 2001. And I moved back in 2001, and my daughter was 8 at the time.
Right.
And we settled back in. And she's now 21 years old. She's 2 years completed in DCU. And she's doing, I think it's called Global Business Through French. And she's gone to France for 2 years.
Okay.
But the point I want to make is I have no issues with her being over there for 2 years. And she told me when she's finished, she hopes to either stay in mainland Europe for a couple of years to get experience or move to the US for a couple of years. She wants some international experience. And I can't understand why all these parents are calling in and they're denying their kids the opportunity of going somewhere else in the world for a better education.
So denying is a bit harsh. But what are the constellations of emigration then? If this is what we're
like, for me, it was all positive. I was able to get home reasonably regularly, and my family came out to visit. And I can't see the negative. At any point during that 16 years, if I wanted to come home, I had the option. Ireland's always here. I'm an Irish citizen. I can't see why parents want their kids living down the road from them. I just don't get it. In the US, if you go off to college, they have a saying, the first day or that when you leave home to go to college, that's probably the last time you'll ever spend an extended period in your own home. And they're 18 or 19. And they don't seem to have a problem with that. If you're on the East Coast, born on the East Coast of the US, and you want to further your career, say, in computers, chances are you'll end up out in Silicon Valley, which is on the West Coast. That's 3,000 miles from home. From here to Boston or New York is only the same.
Yeah, but I'm not being facetious, Paddy, but you can walk from Silicon Valley to Manhattan. Not that you would, but you can. Yeah. It's also to do with geography and location.
Yeah, but Joe, the culture would be completely different. I don't know if you're familiar with the US, but if you move down south, climate is different, lifestyle is different, attitude is different. The same in the Northeast, it's different. The Midwest, the West, it's a completely different culture. People think it's just one big place and everybody thinks the same and works the same and acts and lives the same. It's not like that.
So what would you advise Pauline to do? And the letter we read out, which is read
by... I actually only turned it on late. But, you know, I don't know what in her situation what to do. But, like, I'm just saying, I've only one child.
Mm.
And we were joined at the hip. My wife passed away 11 years ago. So I spent the next 6, 7, 8 years raising her on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw her go to France for 2 years. But I'm delighted for her. She wants to do well. And she has it in her mind that she wants to get international experience. And how can she get? Ireland's a small place.
Okay.
I often say to people, imagine if we were like North
Korea. Why did you... Oh, God.
And we couldn't go on holidays or leave the island. How would we feel then?
You'd feel like most North Korean people feel fed up and depressed
trapped.
But Patrick, why did you come back?
I came back because I actually wanted Tara to grow up in Ireland to have part of what
why?
We had.
Why?
I like the school system. She has fantastic friends here. She still keeps in touch. She's also a US citizen. She keeps in touch with her friends out there. But even herself at this stage, if you speak to her, she's happier the fact that she grew up here. Well, she thinks she is anyways. She enjoyed her childhood.
But you made a conscious decision to come back, your family.
Yeah, there was always a piece of me back here. Yeah, and I didn't like the idea of getting old in the US. I just feel you're not as wanted or part of society like you are here.
Okay.
That was important to me, and I always had that in mind.
What about, I see a call there, and I'll try and get to it, because he's actually on top of a crane, and his phone keeps cutting out, but he's in England listening.
Right.
And he's saying, what about the fathers? He's over there without his family. He's had to emigrate for work. And that's not nice, is it?
My father did that, Joe, for 15 years when I was a kid growing up.
Yeah, I
experienced both sides of it. That's not nice. It certainly isn't. But, you know, he's doing it to give his family
probably
a better standard.
But that man in the crane is in pain, if you follow me, in the sense that he misses his family. They can only, obviously, the family can only, he can only get home if he's busy working on a building site. He can only get home, I presume, every fourth weekend at best.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pain there, Patrick.
Oh, I understand. My father was every 3 to 6 months. And I remember years and years ago, we had the foot and mouth disease, and everybody was all excited about him coming for Christmas, and that particular year there was no crossings. He didn't come home.
I understand.
So I know what that's like, believe me.
Okay.
But I still have no problem with my daughter going abroad. Why would, as I say, you look at most of the consultants in Ireland, they do their medical training here. A lot of them either go to the UK or the US and get consultancy positions out there, and maybe later in life come back to Ireland. Okay. They have to get this experience in these bigger hospitals or bigger places.
Okay. Patrick, thanks indeed, in regards to you and Tara. Let me go to Finn. Finn, good afternoon.
How are you?
Where are you now?
I'm in West London here at the minute.
And you're in work, I know.
Yeah, I've moved to me always here in work. I'll stop for 5 minutes anyway.
What are you working on?
I'm a crane driver.
Okay. And you were listening. You managed to listen to us. I don't know how you listened to us from there, but you managed to listen to us, and you heard the emigration stories. And your point is, what about fathers like Finn, like you? What's your point?
There's hundreds over here, hundreds. You meet them out in Dublin Airport on a Sunday afternoon, and some are heading off. Some going to Denmark, some going to Sweden, London. And they're all leaving kids behind. I mean, I have two small kids. Well, I have a small child of 5 and a half and one of 13. Mm. At home, so it's telephone calls and Skype, and they come over to me, or I try and get back for a weekend back in Dublin.
And how long are you away, Finn?
Oh, jeez. On and all now. I'm 6 years down this, and I've had about 9 months in Dublin in the 6 years.
Wow.
There's six on this site alone. From Wexford, there's a couple of lads from Offaly. And then most of the sites are the same over here.
And when is the last time you were home?
I haven't been home in 3 months because I have to work Saturdays. So what I do is, luckily enough, the company we're working for is building a wing of a hotel for a well-known Irish hotel.
Uh-huh.
And they give us a discount in the rooms if the family want to come over.
Okay, so they can
stay. They can come over for a Saturday night.
And would you move the family? Could you or would you?
No, I'd never move the kids out of Ireland. They love it too much.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be too hard.
So what's the prospect there, Finn? How long are you going to be?
I'll be here for another while because, I mean, there's not a lot in Dublin, and there is a bit of construction work, but, like, I don't know, all these agencies are just paying €10 an hour, so there's just, you know.
And how do you...
It was on your show there a while ago, but the two guys climbing up the crane that were working for £6 an hour.
Whatever, yeah. You know? But and in terms of your own situation, like the job you're on, how long more is in that job?
Oh, next April. And then I get about 2 weeks at home, and then there's another moving on to another job then again.
And will you get home for Christmas?
Oh, yes. I'll get home for Christmas.
And how do you manage? How do you manage in the evenings and weekends? What's the worst part?
That'd be a Sunday if the kids aren't over.
Yeah.
So it's just find something to do, stay out of the pub.
Yeah. And you say,
as I said, there's hundreds doing it, hundreds.
Okay.
So you meet lads all the time, you know. You be out on a Saturday or whatever, like, and you bump into a fella with a Kerry top on or a Cork top, and hello, oh yeah, I'm doing this the last 12 months, 2 years, 3 years.
And what do you think of what's happening back here, Finn?
It seems to be working, but like, it's just, they want to pay you €10 an hour and try and run a house, pay a mortgage, water charges, etc., etc. It's just not feasible on the wages they're paying.
Okay.
42% tax, 7% UCL, national insurance, you know, it's just not feasible.
Okay, that's one of the things. What did Michael O'Leary say yesterday? He said he had 600 jobs. He was going to set up an engineering firm in Dublin, but the cost of setting up and the taxes, income taxes, were just so high that he's taken it to Italy. But anyway, it's a complex issue. Finn, mind yourself up there.
I just wanted to make the point, Joe, that there's actually hundreds and hundreds of lads down here, all different ages, from 50 to 18 years of age. You know?
Yeah.
It's only 300 miles away, far away, you know.
Okay.
Anyway.
Finn, look after yourself, pal. Mind yourself.
You too. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
By the way, the letter at the beginning of the programme read out, on behalf of that lady who was too upset to come on about emigration, was read by her own Evelyn Coburn, and read so well because she has grown up children herself and older teenage boys also. Hannah is in Dundalk. Hannah, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Joe.
You emigrated at one stage. Your husband.
No, I was filling the coal bucket and I have a leak in the roof, and I was listening to these really sad mums on the radio, the sad stories. Mm-hmm. We went off in the 80s when times were bad here, and the recession times were pretty bad here as well. My husband went to Saudi and he took a 2-year contract initially. So my life depended on the once a fortnight phone call on a Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And my fortnight depended on how good the line was for that particular phone call. And like, you could be waiting for that phone call from 5-6 o'clock in the evening until 1 o'clock in the morning to see if you could get through.
And what were the consolations of emigration for you?
Well, see, I'm just remarking is, like, we have Skype now, and we have all the mobile phones and all the technology to keep in touch. My youngest daughter is in Australia, and I literally walk to work with her every morning on Skype. So, I mean, it's a great connection. But I have actually documented, literally, on my life for about 3 years while he was away, in letters in a big box under the bed, because that's what we did. We wrote letters.
And Hannah, how do you look back on that period? Is it?
Well, I did have an opportunity to go out. He didn't have family status initially, but then I got out for a holiday in the summer, and I was supposed to stay about 6 weeks. I didn't come back for 5 or 6 months because they couldn't get me home because I loved it so much. I educated the kids myself for school. And then eventually he got family status, and we spent most of our time in Bahrain, which we had a lovely life. Went to school, we had an absolute ball. We had money in our pockets, we had sunshine. Parents came to visit, I got home regularly. I mean, looking back on the time I had, it was one of the most amazing times of my life.
Okay. And that's, as I said, that's one consolation, one experience of it. And there are other people there. Apologies I didn't get to them today. We will later on. And tomorrow, it being the last Friday of the month, is Funny Friday with all the usual gang here in studio to try and put a shape on what was a tumultuous month and a funny month. And I presume we're going to give out a special prize for the ballad of John Delaney, whoever writes the funniest one, tomorrow on Funny Friday. Emma Laffin produced, and Derek Mooney is next.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.